Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, May 16th, 2014, and in today's podcast, we revisit an old theme and try to analyze it, to approach it from a different perspective. The old theme is the shrinking American middle class and how you have to be pretty affluent now to lead a middle class life in America. The middle class is disappearing, and that is a fact. Today, it seems sometimes that everyone is poor. Everyone is on food stamps. Well, not everyone exactly, only about 50 million people. The interesting thing is how we accept poverty as a good thing. Government officials brag about it. They brag about the rising numbers on food stamps and say it helps the economy. Others say cut them off and give them an incentive to go back to work or to work harder. But where are the jobs? The jobs, of course, are in China, Indonesia, India, Mexico, Brazil, and the like. Middle-class Americans are not keeping pace with their counterparts around the world. America has the wealth, but for the middle class to be regressing means the money is going somewhere else and not to them. Let's try to evaluate some of these reasons. According to the Washington Post recent study, the real income for the lowest skilled workers is 65% lower than compared to 45 years ago. Think of that now. They'll say that again. Real income, that means income relative to inflation, for the lowest skilled workers is 65% lower compared to 45 years ago. Median earnings for men in 2009, median simply means half above and half below. Median earnings for men in 2009 were lower than they were in the early 70s. And it gets worse. Between 1960 and 2009, the share of men working full-time fell from 83% to 66%. And the share not making formal wages tripled from 6% to 18%. When you take all men, not just those working full-time, you see a drop of 28% in median real wages from 1969 to 2009. As income declined over the 40-year period, credit became the substitute. Here it is, folks. This is the answer. As income declined over the 40-year period, credit became the substitute to maintain living standards, especially as the cost of credit became increasingly cheaper. From 1980 onwards, via falling interest rates, the credit bubble that started to implode in 2008 was a result of income substitution and investment speculation. Declining real incomes meant employment gradually lost its attractiveness compared to welfare. More people opted out of workforce participation and into the Social Security office. The U.S. workforce participation rate is falling back to levels last seen in 1975. Let's continue and see if we can analyze some of these things. One of the obvious reasons, then, we can conclude, for the declining middle class is increasing fixed costs while incomes relative to inflation shrink. What do I mean for that? Well, I mean it's a recipe for disaster. Your bills go up and your wages go down. It's just that simple. And that is what we're working on here in America today. The incredible debt load that people carry today is a reason for a declining middle class. It is a primary reason. Let's take an example, a family of four. This example comes from Mr. Tyler Durden at our friends at Zero Hedge. Family of four. The median income in the U.S. right now is about $50,000 per year, approximately. So let's take a family of four, a household that earns $81,000 per year. That amount puts them at about the 70% mark, or just within the top 30% of income earners. This is now a middle-class income because it is not low enough to qualify for government subsidies, but not high enough to avoid prioritizing and trade-offs. A big mortgage on a house that they bought near the top of the market, student loans, two car loans, and credit card balances after loan payments, paying utilities, transportation, groceries, employees' share of health care costs, eating out, mobile phone, internet, and TV plans, there is little money left to save for emergencies, for travel, college for the kids, home maintenance, etc. What are these people? Well, after more than 30 years as a bankruptcy lawyer in a large metropolitan area, I can tell you that they are a fairly typical American family. They are both middle class and they are both debt serfs at the same time. Home, two vehicles, communication and entertainment devices, college degrees, they fall with all those assets solidly within the middle class. But looking at how much income is spent servicing debt and how much is left to save or invest, this typical household is in debt serfdom. They are debt serfs. The mortgage will never be paid off, and by the time the parents' student loans are reduced, the next generation student loans are starting. The autos may be paid off eventually, but then it will be time for new ones. Again, as Zero Head says, quote, debt anchors this household fealty to the state and to the financial sector as securely as any medieval peasant's household bond to the noble manor house. He's saying today, these people are debt slaves just as much as the peasants in the Middle Ages. Mr. Durden characterizes the U.S. economy as a neo-feudal arrangement based on debt. Once again, we are connected to our jobs, to our land, based on debt. The secret, then, is to avoid debt at all costs. Mortgage paid off, vehicles paid off, rarely eat out, no student loans, cheap, catastrophic only medical insurance. Use preventable care, frugal travel, and invest the difference. Easier said than done, folks, I know. Here we have a middle-class income, but the elimination of fixed costs then makes them upper middle class or even wealthy. Debt is a destructor of the middle class and a destructor of society in general. The rich get richer. Income inequality, you hear a lot about that lately. Debt is the destroyer of the middle class lifestyle and a sure road to serfdom. Eliminate debt and a family still has some chance. But who can do that? Not many. Not many at all. Till next time, folks, this is Daryl Castle. Thanks for listening.